The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 191. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, what up?
Adam Vale.
What's up, people? Suck Free Sunday.
And Brian Monjoma.
Good evening, people.
All right, so Manny will be here a little later, Brett will be here a little later, and no Chris action. He's fucked up because of allergies, man. Apparently, they have allergies in Texas. Because in my mind, I'm like, it's just a fucking desert, you know. But yeah, no, he was doing some yard work and stuff. And Chris is—he's always been a little sensitive to that sort of stuff. So yeah, he's all fucked up, Benadryl out, all that. You know what I'm saying? Man, it's crazy, man.
I should fuck you up, man.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll be back. Luckily, we also don't have any Nintendo questions, so we're good. You know. Yeah, Nintendo stock is down. We talked about that. You know. How about that crossplay? Damn, man, dude's already going in. You know. You guys are great. Anyway, before we start, I want to give a shout out to how would I pronounce this? Rogelio? How would I pronounce that? Rogelio, right? Did I say it right? I've never said that name before.
Rogelio.
All right. So he won the poster, the Street Fighter poster. So congrats to him, Manny. Probably if he hasn't already sent that to you, he's gonna send that to you soon. And my man's from El Paso.
Damn.
Small world. Yo, Carlos, you should have him, like, you should deliver this shit, you know?
I know, right? It might be cheaper. You never know.
Yeah, right. Well, Manny will have to send it to you first, and then you'll have to drive it there. Hey, man, find Fonzie out there, too, you know?
Yeah, Fonzie. Shout out to Fonzie. He's in Anime Expo right now.
Exactly, man. All right, so we only got, I mean, we got some good questions, but not a whole bunch of them. So if you guys want to ask us some video gamey questions live tonight, feel free to. Yes, don't worry, Barry. We will talk about Warframe tonight, man. You know what? Fuck it. Let's move that up the queue, you know? So, Carlos, just flip them up there and stuff. Brian, man, what are your thoughts on the Warframe TennoCon 2018? What are you most excited about from the announcement? And what do you think about it being on Switch? This is from our boy Himdeal.
Okay, first one, I didn't watch it because it's the weekend and I got shit to do. But from my understanding, they revealed a new, like, area, like, open world area thing in Venus, which was quite exciting, apparently. They have spiders now, so that's a thing. They have hoverboards now, which is also a thing. Okay, it's fair enough. I'm more interested in Switch now, because I'm excited to see, like, just how well this game will actually run on Switch, because on PS4, it doesn't run the best. It half chugs along at a decent rate. So how to run on Switch, I don't know, because they'll have to make some weird compromises. The first thing that I think will go is the resolution. Like, it'll be like either some arbitrary small resolution, or maybe like 720p or less, because I'm sure that it won't be all that great. But at the same time, that is pretty cool. I'm interested to see how Nintendo will handle it in terms of whether you'll need the Nintendo Pass thing to play the game online, or will just be just free. So I'm excited. It is interesting, you know, to see Warframe go on a completely different platform like that. And let's see how it goes.
So Brian, did this announcement make you want to buy a Switch?
Unless I can transfer my stuff over, no.
Ooh, cross-share.
It is the same reason why I don't play Warframe on a PS4, because I can't transfer my stuff over. Like, I have like 3,000 hours worth of stuff. I'm not going to start fresh. Sorry.
Yeah, that makes sense. Happen.
What about some of the other stuff I heard? Actually, before we even get that, for those who may not know, What is TennoCon? I know Tenno is like a race in the game, but like, was that an actual convention they had for Warframe? Like, what was that about?
Oh yeah, it's like, you know, is it BlizzCon or some of that? Like, it's just a convention for people that like the Warframe game. It is hosted in London, Ontario, which is like the shit version of London because it's not London, UK. You have no idea how excited I was. I'm like, oh shit, it's in London? I'm totally going to go. I'm like, oh no, London, Ontario, in Canada. I'm like, oh, fuck off. I'm not going there. So yeah. So basically, it is a convention that they hold. I think this is now the third year they've had it. And basically, they just go in there. They talk about Warframe. They get feedback from the fans. They show some new cool stuff. And yeah, apparently it's really good. You know, it's really nice when you have developers that actually talk to the community and don't just call them out and do stupid things on Twitter.
Man, if you guys want to ask us about that specific situation, please feel free to. What was I going to ask you? Here's the thing I want to say about Warframe. Warframe is that the biggest game you've never heard of. Brian, would it be incorrect for me to say that?
Oh, damn right. It's a lot bigger than people think it is. I think pretty much since launch, it's been in the Steam top 10 most played games. Or at least in the Steam top 15 most played games. And Keep in mind that includes stuff like CSGO, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Dota 2, Team Fortress has been there sometimes, GTA 5, Skyrim, and all sorts. Like, it's consistently up there. It's really weird how popular this game is. I'd say it's probably the best free-to-play game on the market because of just how it handles the free-to-play model and how it handles its fans and how it handles, like, its content.
You know, all I'm going to say is I never heard of a Grand Theft Auto con. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. By the way, a couple questions or a couple comments here. And Nate says that as someone who has played Warframe from day one off and on since closed beta, man, it's hard to keep up these days and play other games. And Nate, let me ask you a question. How many hours did you put into the game? Because, Brian, how many do you have as of the time of this recording?
I will check right now. It's probably 2,924.
God damn. All right. And let's see. Seth says, wonder if there's going to be any outcry if there's no cross-platform progression for Warframe. Brian, do you think there's going to be any outcry?
Now, this, I don't think there will be because of other limitations. Because Warframe is a game that's in constant beta. So that there's constant updates to it all the time. And one of the reasons why they stated that you can't have cross-platform progression between like all the platforms is because of the nature of how like Sony and Microsoft deal with updates. Because as you know, to release an update on those platforms, it needs to go through a verification process, which takes time. And the thing is, with the PC, you don't have that. You just go in there, you update, and bam, it's the day end date. So hence, on PC, they can continue just roll out updates as and when they need, whereas on consoles, they can't. So hence, you get that weird stagger effect. So that is their reason why they say that they can't. And to me, that's a valid reason because you just can't get around that. So I don't think that they will. Maybe there'll be like a one-time only thing that they did on consoles where there'll be like a certain like window where you can like transfer your stuff over. And then after that, they're pretty much separate, which I'm not a fan of, but okay, whatever.
So I have a question for you, Brian. And you might have already done this, and I just wasn't here in the past, or maybe you're just not this type of person, but why haven't you ever tried to sort of make us play Warframe with you? We all kind of do it to an extent, but I've never heard you like be like, hey, do you guys ever want to play Warframe?
Personally, I'm just not that type of guy. Like, I'm not the Brett type of guy who's like, hey, you guys should play this great game that I'm playing. I'm more of a, hey, the game is great. If you want to play it, let me know. I'll hop on. If not, then that's fine with me. Yeah, like, I'm one of the type of gamers where I'm happy people don't play the same game that I do. But again, it's your time. I would just let you know how good the game is. You want to pick it up, that's your choice. And yeah, like, we could do like four player things, but There may be a bit of grinding involved, and that's not particularly fun sometimes. I'm not gonna lie. Like after 3,000 hours of playing Warframe, I can tell you this: there's quite a bit of grind involved in Warframe, and that's not particularly fun.
Is
The only
there
reason, sorry, the only reason why I don't find it to be that much of a grind is because I have the 3,000 hours. So someone coming in new now, they'll have some stuff to get through to get to the good stuff. But because I've been here for so long and I jump in like every other week, then I am continuing just like restocked with all new materials and whatnot. So it's like when the new gun or sword comes in, it's like, oh, it takes like 20,000 things to make. And it's like I have a million of that, so I'm not too fussed. Like right now, I'm sitting on around about 40 million credits, which means that I can pretty much buy anything that I want and not give a damn.
Yeah, Brian, I want your thoughts on this. A Life and Times podcast says, Switch folks getting hyped for Warframe are exposing themselves as frauds. What do you make of that statement? He's basically saying that this game's been out for free for 5 years and Switch guys are just now getting excited. So what do you make of that?
I'm not surprised. It seems to happen with anything that does this. I remember the time when Warframe was only on PC, and then suddenly it was announced for PS4, and then suddenly the PS4 guys got ultra excited. I'm like, the thing's been out for free for a couple of years now. Why are you only getting excited now? So I'm not too surprised. Everyone seems to do that. They don't seem to understand that the games exist on other platforms apart from the ones they play. So I'm just kind of like, as long as they're playing in the game and they're happy about it, that's fine. Same time, I don't care. Like, it's not like a personal thing. It's just that I just genuinely don't care. People will do that. That's what I've noticed. We've seen it with thingy with Nier. Like, there's like a bunch of Xbox guys who just didn't give a damn about the game, and then suddenly it's out on Xbox, and then voila, it's like one of the greatest games they've played. It's like, really? Like, why can't you just talk about games on other platforms that you don't have access to and you like? But people are weird, very weird.
Yeah, but again, what I find interesting with this situation is like, yeah, Warframe's legit been out on every major platform for years, so you had the chance to play it, but now that it's on Switch, you suddenly get excited. Find that very strange. I don't know about just calling them frauds. I just say it's very strange, you know? Very strange. Even with Nier, I could kind of understand. It's like, okay, the game's only been out a year. Maybe you don't have a PS4, but you must, if you're a Switch guy, you must at least own one, current gen system, right? Now, with that said, if you were a Wii U only owner and you were a Switch owner, no other consoles, then I could understand the hype. I could totally. And just remember, on Thursday, I was like, why the fuck is everybody talking about Hollow Knight all of a sudden? Because it's on Switch now. Nobody was talking about that game for like years. People talked about it, obviously, but it's been a long time. So again, I find it very strange. But I'm not going to go as far as to say people are frauds. I just find it very, very strange, you know? Anyway, any other thoughts on Warframe coming to Switch?
Get it. It's free. It's fun. It's worth it. Like you lose nothing, and plus you get to see just how good free to play games can be. And again, like this game makes people like wonder, like how is this thing free? Like there's so much content.
Well,
It is ridiculous.
here's a dumb question. I mean, maybe you already answered it, but I didn't hear it. But is it going to be free on the Switch as well?
I don't know. Is Fortnite free on the Switch? That's because does Nintendo have like the online network thing yet or not?
The online service is still not
I'm
there.
putting my hands up. I honestly don't know, but I'm assuming people could play Fortnite on Switch for free.
Let me look
But
that up.
yeah, but don't quote me. I could be wrong about that. I don't want to
If
say one way
Fortnite,
or the other.
yeah, if Fortnite is free, then chances are Warframe will also be free.
Hey Brian, you'll like this statement. Steph says Warframe is greater than Destiny.
Oh yeah, everyone knows that. That's why they keep playing it.
I love it. All right, man, let's move on to the next question here. G Megaforce 123. So he goes, and I hope Brett's here for this one. Brett, are you here yet? Damn it, he's not here yet. All right, I'm gonna, Carlos, I hate to do this to you, but I'm gonna switch the order of these questions right now. I
The
want
OA.
the OA. It's out OA. Okay, so what is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets. What are some of your favorite lines of bad dialogue in a video game which are poorly written or poorly acted? By the way, before we even answer this man's question, G Megaforce, you're from Astoria, bro. Why are you spelling favorite with a U? I had to correct your spelling there. You're not British.
He's from Oregon?
You know, he's from Astoria, Queens.
Oh, okay.
He's from Astoria. He's a New Yorker. I'm like, why are you spelling it with a U? Try to be pretentious, man? What the fuck?
You hung out with Madonna, man?
Exactly. There you go. Bitch is from Queens and she thinks she's from London now. It's hilarious. Okay, what are your favorite bad pieces of video game dialogue? Obviously, anything from Resident Evil. It's a Jill sandwich. You know, shit like that. It's hilarious, man. Some of the stuff from Metal Gear is pretty funny. You know, they played us like a fiddle. It's awesome, man. What about you guys?
A lot of stuff from the Quantic Dream games.
Oh God, they have a whole bunch of those.
Because not only do they have a lot of stuff, they have them in a French accent.
Yeah, remember the little kids like, I try, I really try.
Heavy Rain for me. Everything in Heavy Rain.
Corny ass dialogue, man.
It was so bad. And what, you can't hire any voice actors from New York? You had to try to fake it. It just sounds...
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Quantic Dream, anything, pretty much.
I didn't play the new one. Did that one have the bad dialogue also?
Okay, here's the thing. The line, they didn't have anybody with a funky accent, but some of the shit they said was still stupid.
Yeah.
You know, let's just be real. You know? Yeah, I'm kind of blanking on this one right now, so I'm going to let you guys in the chat fill this one. Anything from Resident Evil, corny-ass, dialogue. I was watching the intro of Mega Man 8, man. Bam! That shit was bad with the it looked beautiful with the animation, but the dialogue was horrendous. You know, I will get you, Mega Man. It's like, what the fuck? You just got the intern from down the corner, you know, to do this shit for you, man. What the fuck? You know. Well,
and we talked about this several times in the podcast. That demo of Octopath Traveler, that one kid, the one with the bad British accent, is like, excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have another?
I'm like, what is this? By the way, I just confirmed Fortnite is free to download on the Switch.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. It's been free. I mean, they launched free. Because they don't have... It's not the whole thing. Isn't it just a Battle Royale mode?
Well, isn't that what the game is?
No, it's got... It was... that's an add-on. The original game is not free. It's $30.
Jason! God! Come on, I know there's other shit there. I wish Manny and Chris were here. They'd have a whole bunch of them. I'm blanking right now.
Well,
anything from Just Cause. That game has some terrible dialogue.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. By the way, speaking about Just Cause, you'll like my Just Cause hat?
What is it, Rico Rodriguez?
I think so. Hold on, let me show you, because the back of it has the... see, it says Just Cause?
Just Cause 4. Oh,
damn. Yeah. But yeah, it's a Rico Rodriguez hat, apparently. It's crazy.
So, it's funny, a way to avoid bad dialogue is by going the Zelda route. It's like, just let them not speak.
Well,
just
speaking about Zelda, excuse me, princess.
Oh, that one, yeah, man.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, the Wanda Gamelon shit, you know? It's pretty much... And the early days of FMV were a goldmine for bad dialogue, man. Remember that shit, Adam? Sega CD, man?
Oh, shit. Freaking
Sewer Shark. Sewer Shark, son. Damn.
Double Switch.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that whole era was just, just littered with bad dialogue, you know? And they always looked at the camera like, you know, directly at the camera and shit. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious, man.
Well, pretty much, there's a lot of old Japanese games that had a really bad English dialogue, and it's like really comical stuff, like the way they portray different races. I'm not gonna say which ones, but there's some races that they just are not good at portraying, and it's really stereotypical.
It's hilarious, man. By the way, I love fake I love the way Japanese make fake Anglo names, you know what I mean? It's like, what? Yeah. That's not a real name. Like, look at all those weirdo names that they have in like Valkyria Chronicles. Like, what the fuck? Like, just call the guy Edward, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. If nobody else has any input here, move on to next question. Hope Brett swoops in because he's the fan of this shit. All right. What game will be the Oblivion of this generation? When Oblivion was released, it received many awards and critical praise. Now it's widely regarded as a terrible RPG with bad... He wrote a lot too, by the way. With bad combat, copy and pasted dungeons, stupid AI, badly placed music, uninspired story, boring scenery, a badly optimized engine, steps back from the previous games, and repetitive beyond all comprehension. Tell us how you really feel, bro.
But did you like the game, bro?
Yeah, did you like the game? He goes, Todd Howard even called it generic. So what critically praised game of this generation will end up being a Christ, what are they thinking game? Right, first of all, before we even ask the question, I didn't realize people were shitting on Oblivion like that. You know, to be honest, I'm going to keep it real. I don't think people are even talking about Oblivion because Skyrim took over the conversation. You know?
Yeah.
It got to the point where people don't even call it Elder Scrolls anymore. It's called it Skyrim. The whole series is Skyrim now.
Well, first of all, that's an opinion on Oblivion.
Like, he said it's widely regarded, man.
It's hard to like give games a pat if a game that has the criteria that you mentioned in this generation has those things, it's really hard that it'll be critically acclaimed now. Like those games are hard to like, you know, like there's like movie critics who give like shitty movies like good reviews. I think in the gaming industry, there's a better filter to an extent.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that still like Oblivion, you know?
Oh, yeah, I still like Oblivion.
Yeah, here's the thing. Yeah, but I guess he's trying to say... But here's the thing. I don't think Oblivion is a good example of that because people still like the game. I disagree with the whole notion that it's widely regarded. By who? Again, G Megaforce, I want to know who you hang out with, bro, because you got some interesting opinions on games. Not that they're wrong, just very interesting to me. You know?
Yeah, I think for the most part, most people who played Oblivion at the time consider it as one of the essential RPG Western RPGs for that generation.
Yeah.
I don't think they're... Because when I first read the question, I didn't really read the whole thing. I thought it was going to say, like, what's going to be, like, the Oblivion of this gen? Like, a game that transcended the genre and made it more widely popular.
Remember when Oblivion was like the first next gen game? Like people were hyping the shit out of that. Like it was on magazines. They're like, "Yo, this is the shit you're gonna expect now." You know,
the map is huge.
Yeah, everybody lost their minds, man. And I've never seen anyone shit on the game, to be honest. So I don't know if we could properly answer this question because there's no game like that. Oblivion isn't like that. So what game would constitute of this generation to be in the same vein? I don't think we could answer the question properly.
Yeah, for me, it's like if you're just talking about the positive stuff, like what's the Oblivion of this generation? I probably would have said The Witcher 3. But once you bring in all the bad baggage of the game aspects, I would have said it's Mass Effect Andromeda. Mass Effect Andromeda is widely known as a bad game now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he like I think he's trying to ask like, you know, like what is a game that is highly praised now but is actually bad that people will realize it's bad later. I don't think that applies to any games that are out right now. And I don't think it applies to Oblivion either. You know?
I don't think so either. Because I think if most people are maybe just Gene Megaforce and his friends are going to hate that game.
That's what I think.
I think most people are still going to like the game or praise it.
Yeah. Steph says GTA 4 is an example, but that's last gen because the game got highly praised. But... Dude, guys still mod the fuck out of that game, so people still like it, you know?
I think it's just because of the story. Like, some people didn't like aspects of the story, but the game itself is still pretty good.
Yeah. It's interesting because, to me, I felt it was the game that was actually the kind of let down because they didn't let you revel in the insanity, you know what I mean? Like, at least to me, because I'm like, oh, because Nikos is, like, kind of chilled out kind of guy, very somber, so I kind of didn't feel the need to go crazy. I'm like, Nico wouldn't do that shit, you know? Yeah. Obviously, when I played GTA 5 was interesting, because when I was playing as Michael, I'm like, you know, like, this guy's kind of, you know, relaxed, but he could get set off, you know? Franklin, he's kind of chill, and I never really did anything. As soon as I got Trevor, I started going fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know? Because I did like the story of GTA 4, but I do feel that it was too depressing for the series. The series is supposed to be really goofy and stupid, you know? So I understand that, but at the same time, if you look at it objectively, it's actually a really good story, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people didn't necessarily were too fond of Nico.
Yeah.
I didn't really mind.
Life and Time says, Tony, they are trying to combine Liberty City and San Andreas. You just fly to them. What are you talking about? Oh, you mean in the modding community? Those guys are crazy, man. You know, that should be dope, though. You know, more power to them. All right. Moving on here. Next question. My man, K-Cube, you know, and I'm glad he asked this question. I asked this question a million times during three episodes. Nobody answered it. So now we're stuck. We have to answer this. All right. With the whole crossplay discussion going on, do you think people will be demanding crossplay if a multiplayer game doesn't have it? For example, if Call of Duty was on all platforms but had no crossplay, would people be mad like they are with Fortnite? Thank you for asking this question. And that's the million-dollar question. You saw the uproar that happened with Fortnite. Are people going to beef? Are people going to beef when Call of Duty and Battlefield and all these other Red Dead do not have crossplay? Are they going to beef? That's the question.
Well, I think so, but there's a huge but. There's the discrepancy between the outrage will be completely different because Fortnite is obviously the most popular game out right now. So a game like, I don't know, Battlefront, for example, or Battlefield, like those don't have the fan base to generate this type of uproar. And yeah, so I think that's another thing. But I think you'll still see people be like, oh, why isn't Call of Duty crossplay, huh? How Sony or Microsoft or wherever is part? But I don't think it'll be way lesser of an extent than it is with Fortnite. For sure.
Yeah. Seth says no. Master Shake says no. Actually, K-Cube, because I was talking to him about this, he said that he thinks the only reason this whole thing went crazy with Fortnite is because Nintendo and Xbox had crossplay and Sony didn't. So that's when people got mad. So and I had to ask him, what do you mean? What do you mean? So he basically said, if a game does not have crossplay, period, no one is going to beef. But if it has limited crossplay, then people are going to get mad. So I think he might be right about that. As long as like the games come out as they usually do, no crossplay, you're probably not going to hear anything. Or maybe a little blip here and there. But for the most part, I don't think you're going to hear anything. Now, if Call of Duty is crossplay with like Nintendo, not Nintendo, what the fuck am I talking about? With like PC and Xbox or PC and PS4, then maybe, but... Yeah, I'm going to go with, to answer my own question, I'm going to go with no. I don't think I think even now, no one's talking about this crossplay stuff anymore. It's already forgotten. So I think by this fall, I don't think people are going to remember it either. That was my question, but I think it's been proven that people, they're mad about something else right now. You know, their anger has been redirected, as usually happens with the gaming industry, you know. Adam, what do you think, man?
About the Switch and all that?
No. Do you think people are going to beef when Call of Duty, Battlefield do not have crossplay?
No. I don't think it's about that. I think it's just the accounts. I think people want them to just release the accounts.
Actually, most people are just, they don't even talk about the account stuff anymore. They just talk about the crossplay, or that's what they did talk about. It's kind of interesting how the whole conversation just shifted, you know? Brian, what about you, man? Mr. Monjoma.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this will be an interesting thing to watch out for, because the majority of people that play these games, they tend to just want to play the game and that's it. And for the most part, they don't really care about other factors about the game, because we've seen how these games like throw in loot boxes and throw in all types of crap, and the gamers just buy into it and not give a damn. So maybe there's enough people to just not give a damn. I'm sure that there's bound to be like some select people in the community somewhere that will complain about it not being crossplay, but chances are these people will not be listened to, or these people will just be thrown to the side, or major gaming outlets will just ignore the story because it's not in zeitgeist. So chances are it will happen, but it'll be so small and it won't be in the zeitgeist that it won't be reported on. That's my thing.
Seth says no one asked for DCUO crossplay with PlayStation and Xbox. Well, again, that was part of my confusion. I'm like, why people weren't beefing about this stuff before? Why are they beefing now? But I think it really does come because they were like, hey, Xbox and Nintendo crossplay. What the fuck, Sony? I think that was what was going on here. But who knows? But yeah, I think this thing, it's already forgotten. People aren't even talking about it anymore. I think by the time this fall comes around, no one's going to give a shit. You're going to maybe get a couple outliers here and there, but generally no one's going to care, you know? But we'll see. We'll, maybe a revolution's at hand. Who knows, you know? All right, moving on here. Spacey's Pleasure Yacht. This one is related. So what's next for gamer outrage? No cross-play DLC. If a game has DLC and you buy it on PS4 but can't play the DLC on Xbox, will that be considered anti-consumer? LOL. It's a good question, though. This, I know he's being snarky, but it's a good question.
Before that, we had loot boxes. No one's talking about that shit anymore.
Yeah, people forgot that.
Now it's crossplay, and oh man, the next thing. Yeah.
To answer the question, I'm going to say no. I don't think people are going to care about crossplay DLC.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Who the hell is caring about it right now? Like,
no one. But I think he's trying to point out how ridiculous this whole thing is. Like, I personally feel the whole like crossplay like outrage is kind of silly. So he's just taking it another step. Like, hey, we're going to get mad about crossplay DLC too. You know, like, why not? Yeah. Why not get mad? If you're going to get mad about crossplay, why not get mad about DLC? You know?
Yeah, and I mean, crossplay is kind of more of a easier step to take than sort of crossplay DLC, because crossplay DLC deals more directly with the money that goes in between, like, between the hands of these companies and the game developers. So, yeah, crossplay DLC is something much larger of a sort of a risk for companies than sort of crossplay in general.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Emilios.
Yo, what's up, folks?
What's going on, man? So yeah, Manny, what do you think? Do you think people are going to get the next gamer outrage is going to be over, you know, DLC not being crossplay?
I would think that would be the next step.
Do you think it's going to happen though?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. People are going to be jealous of what the other person has. You're going to see somebody running around in something that they don't, that somebody doesn't have.
Well, no, it generally is like, okay, let's say you buy some DLC on Xbox, right? And you can't bring it over PlayStation. You think that's going to be the next thing? The guy's asking a silly question because he's like, he thinks this whole thing is dumb, you know?
Well, yeah, well, that is going to happen. Because, especially if it's an exclusive DLC. You can't take that over to Switch or Xbox or PlayStation. It's not going to work.
Yeah, even though we've had exclusive DLC and no one seemed to have complained about that before.
The only reason why anybody's going to be complaining about this is because of the fact that it's something that they can't get.
Interesting.
And they have to pay for it over again, pay for whatever on there. So you're going to see a bunch of people, you know, for the sake of conversation, let's say there's a Mario skin in Fortnite. And you see Mario running around on your Xbox, and you'd be like, man, I really want that. Can't have it. It's Nintendo exclusive.
Yeah, by the way, Corey says the next outrage will be why Spider-Man is exclusive come September. That's already happened, bro.
That's already happened.
That already happened.
That's already been covered. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, now what is going to, you know, if the, you know, the whole crossplay thing goes out, it's like, yeah, what's going to be the thing? The thing is going to be what exclusive content are the different console makers going to have now? Why do they want you to stay on Switch, or why do they want to get you to stay on Xbox?
Ooh, that's a good question. And Nate, we will answer that, my friend. Do not worry. All right, anybody else want to jump in on this? I think Brett's still out to lunch. All right, next question here. Has any game helped you calm down during real life stress where your mind couldn't turn off, so you gamed and it soothed you? If so, what games? Very interesting question.
I can do this quick.
Go ahead, man.
The Division. It just brings me to another place. And it's like I could play this and just mindless, like, forget about everything. Same thing with the Call of Duties. You know, those are my go-tos, my releases. It's just soothing.
I can definitely see why certain games are kind of the grind or the monotony of it, something like that kind of helps get you to not focus on the things that are in your current life. It's not unheard of, where I've heard of people like, you know, who said in the past, like, man, I love the God of War games, man. I get all that frustration out on, you know, in those games. So for me, a game that may have done, I find that certain games that allow that that involve a certain type of puzzle solving kind of helps. Not really, just because it's a totally different thing than what I do in my normal day. It's like, okay, we're trying to figure out this or trying to, think, just something that gets me to think because, not to say this, but my job is a lot of it's kind of automatic where it's like, it's so honed to the point where I'm essentially just repeating the same action over and over and over again. I'm kind of always looking for some sort of outlet that gets me to use a different part of my brain than just the art side of my brain. So yeah. Did I actually say which game it was?
No, you did not.
It's not any really specific games. Like each games have their own thing. Like I could definitely understand, like, especially playing like Japanese RPGs, the kind of repetitive action of that, it can kind of help, because it's just like, okay, you always have a fight, and you feel the progress of your character kind of moving forward, but at the same time, it's each situation is a little bit different, so it's not useless.
Yeah, Corey says Gundam Breaker 3 is his. Seth says The Sims and Hot Shots Golf. Interesting.
I think that's
an eclectic mix right there too.
Yes,
I think for me it's just whichever game I'm like playing at the time. It really doesn't matter which one it is. Because I don't know. Do people have go-to games to play when they feel like, I don't know, to just get their minds off of stuff? Because for me, it's just whichever game I'm playing. I just delve deep into that story and into the gameplay and stuff. So for me, it's just whichever game I'm playing or whichever game is hot during the time.
Carlos, stop bullshitting. You already know what game it is, man. Come on, just say it.
But I play that game when I'm happy and sad. Heroes of the Storm.
Nice. Here's the thing. They're not games that I specifically. I mean, obviously, like puzzle games and stuff like that kind of help me and stuff like that because it gets me to do something differently. But I do steer clear of games that are somewhat depressing. So in other words, like
Hellblade.
No, Hellblade has a fair amount of it's I didn't feel depressed in that game. I didn't feel that oppressive that game. I feel like the game The Last of Us was probably the most difficult play for me.
Oh yeah.
Because of just how bleak the world seemed. And it took me a while to kind of play that game. I even said this kind of thing on Twitter too, where it's like the bleakness of that world was something I didn't want to play at the end of the day after grinding my ass off on doing this work. So I would find it a little hard to go into something like that. And it definitely, that sense of empowerment definitely does help, I feel. Like where you feel like, yeah, I'm this boss ass character. I'm going to, like stuff like that. I wouldn't say Bloodborne is like that, even though the world seems utterly horrible and bleak. Like it's like, you're literally the world of Bloodborne or any of those Souls games is all like it's like the last throes of a world before the apocalypse really happens. It's like you thought this world was worse. It's getting worse. So but I don't find that game it wasn't that bad. It was but I do feel that sort of sense, especially with the previous Souls games. It just feels like, wow, this world's fucked. I don't want to be here.
Like, yo, man, fuck this world.
Yeah, it's like, there's this whole map of things that just happened right before you got in the room, and it's like, wow, guys, why am I even bothering to adventure through this world? Because no matter what I do, I can't save this.
Yeah, that's a good way of seeing it. Brian, Warframe.
Actually, no. I'm actually slightly different in this aspect, in that I actually just work out to get that release. So I actually don't play games to get that release.
I'll run on the treadmill sometimes.
Yeah. Lift some weights, go for a run, that type of stuff. And yeah,
those endorphins.
Yeah. I just find that physical exercise is just better at it than playing games in terms of that aspect. But yeah, there are definitely games that I do like to play when I'm happy and whatnot. And I'd even go as far as saying that there's certain types of anime that I actually watch when I'm happy or upset. So, for example, Gintama, I would watch that if ever I'm not feeling good. Because, again, Gintama is just like it's just infinite amounts of jokes. So hence, I always feel better after watching it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, Tanami. I know Carlos wants to dive in.
I'm ready.
He's ready to dive in.
When you say Gintama, man, look at my icon, man.
Yeah, right? He's ready to go. Okay, I'm a little bit weird with this. I don't have a game like that. I don't have any activity like that. If I'm stressed, everything I do is already fucked up. I cannot enjoy it. So the only thing I could do about stress is to think about how I'm going, what I'm going, because usually, I'm just going to be honest, if something's stressing me out, it's an outside factor, right? So I'm busy thinking about what am I going to do to change that. So no game, no movie, no music is going to, it can't, like, I guess for lack of a better term, fix me. So I don't really have an escape. I don't think that's probably healthy, but I just don't. But luckily for me, I don't really have that much stress in my life. I'm gonna tell you guys a quick story, right? A couple months ago, I went to my doctor because I get refills every few months and shit. And, you know, the standard stuff, they asked me, what, you know, do you have any stress in your life? And I just blurted, I'm like, hey, I live a stress-free life. The only thing I gotta deal with is these Twitter motherfuckers. Literally, I'm like, and as I was talking to Manny today, there's a very easy way to minimize that stress. Don't go on fucking Twitter. Yep. So no, my life is chill. My only thing is, I wish I could get a little bit more sleep. Your boy is tired, but I'm chilling, man. But yeah, when I'm like stress, games, the last thing I want to do is play a fucking game. I don't want to do anything but fix whatever is troubling me at the point, you know. So I, even if I'm hanging out with my friends, I guess is the best thing, but even then I'm calculating, like, what am I gonna do, you know what I'm saying? But video games, like, I just sit there, I'm like, I don't want to do this, you know what I'm saying?
I you know, I have to say, one of the things that has kind of helped, and I think maybe even Brett might agree too if he was on right now, I definitely think the show that we do kind of helps that.
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, throw down, yes, man. Yeah, I'm glad you say that, because yeah, there's been, like, especially like, I'm being real, 2014, there were times I'm like, I just looked forward to that throwdown, man, because I knew that shit would calm me the fuck down. Also, the other thing that helps too, I'm being real, sleep. Because you don't have to think about that shit when you're sleeping. Very interesting how when I'm stressed, I sleep like a baby. All that shit just dissipates, you know. But yeah, throw down. And yeah, I know Brett definitely agree with that. Because think about like this. I'm being real. I thought Brett, you know, after what happened with Rachel, he was not going to be back here for a long, long time. My man came back 2 weeks later because it helps him, you know.
Yeah, so, we've all had, you know, even if we don't say it on the show, what's exactly going on in our personal lives, I definitely think that the show has kind of helped those kind of, you know, rough patches. I mean, it's nice to get away from the, you know, from the things that are in your kind of normal life and just kind of just talk about fun stuff like games, man, and movies like we used to do. And we still kind of do that, what we've talked about it multiple times. There's a whole other show that you guys don't see after we do this.
By the way, it, with few exceptions, we rarely talk about video games before or after the show. We talk about other shit.
All about hockey.
Yeah, except today, me and Adam were talking about some old school shit, you know. By the way, Hocus Pocus, hey, he goes, he listens to Throwdown to relieve stress. That's awesome.
Oh, there you go.
See, we're doing it for the people, man.
I'm going to link with him. Because, yeah, there's a lot of shows, talk shows, news shows that I'll listen to just throw my mind off. You know, there's one called Bowery Boys. They just talk New York history and stuff. That throws my mind somewhere else. You know?
Yep. Yeah. Like some other podcasts that I listen to is, like, I like to listen to a lot of, you know, kind of making of podcasts where, like, they talk to people in, like, the gaming industry or movie industry, because I just like, I'm just interested in that sort of information and stuff like that. And,
yo, man, how you make that art? You know, yeah, that stuff's fun. Making of
pretty pictures.
Yo, man, how you do that? How you do that? But anything could be art, video games, movies, whatever. You know? All right, so let's move on here to Black Metal Gamer. By the way, Black Metal Gamer, this dude, I'm going to keep it real, man. I hope I'm not blowing up your spot. This dude loves to drink, man. I think he was too drunk. He asked 4 fucking questions. he asked 2 questions the day we finished recording, and then he asked 2 questions 3 days ago. I'm like, my man, did you just forget about the shit you asked? And then the stuff he asked a couple of days ago were trolley questions. I'm like, okay, this motherfucker was drunk. You know, so I'm going to dismiss all those. You know, it was about, you know, Rise in a Room being the greatest, most fantastical game ever.
I think he's just playing. I feel like he's just playing around, because especially seeing a lot of the silliness that's going on online right now.
Man. All right. So his first one is, what games did you dislike at launch but liked later due to patches and or updates? Very interesting question, because I can't think of a game like that.
What? There's plenty of games like that.
Okay, you go. We you go first then. Yeah. No, I'm talking about for me personally. The question is personal. Oh. But go ahead, Adam. What do you got for yourself, man?
What games that?
Yeah, mother. You said all the time. What happened?
Yeah, no. Meaning that games that they come out and then it's like, oh wow, I enjoy going back to that. Wildlands for me. Ghost Recon Wildlands, because remember when that came out, I had all kinds of issues. I'm like, pass. Usually those open worlds are my type of thing. I was like, a pass. And then they did all these fixes, had all this other stuff. I said, all right, let me go in. Next thing you know, I wound up getting a plat. I got hooked. They fixed a lot of shit. And mainly a lot of shit was because in that game, you have three AI team members. And from what I saw the reviews and the comments, people were like, yo, those guys don't listen. They run around. They don't stick by you. They don't take cover. It's broken. And they fixed it. And they fixed a bunch of other little issues with the weapons, and it turned out to be a really fun game. I enjoyed it, you know. And you know, I'm still playing The Division. I know a lot of people stepped away because they were like, oh, lack of content, stuff like that. And didn't really have too many issues, just lack of content, but they filled that up, so there's plenty to do there and content to get. But yeah, some games take time to grow, and especially, we've talked about this before, Ubisoft just stays committed to their games. You know, we don't see that with other developers. They just like, oh, that one fucked up. Whatever. You got a patch coming? Nah, man. We got another one coming. You know, it's like with the 2K18. Remember the whole issue I had with the Switch? Shit's broken. Can't do a tag team. Could barely do a singles. Like, yo, are you going to fix it? No, but we got another game coming. Why don't you just pick that shit up? Maybe it'll be fixed on that one. You know, so there are games that they fix and some don't.
It's an interesting sort of thing because, yeah, like Ubisoft seems to be the masters of that. Of that kind of archetype, where they release a okay game, and then it kind of you know, grows into this other big thing.
And the crazy thing, they haven't just done it one or twice; they've done it like what, four or five times in a row already. It's crazy.
They did it again with Far Cry 5. People said, "Hey, how come?" They'd be like, "Oh, we're fixing it now. Let's see if they can do it for that other one they just released that's not selling so great."
Which one?
Oh, that one that just came out. Damn, the Crew 2.
Oh yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see about that.
A bunch of issues.
And yeah,
they can't get the servers.
Your boy. I got my review coming tomorrow. Your boy kept it real. That's all I'm gonna say about that. You know. Okay. For me, I don't have a game like that. Like, if you don't impress me on launch day, I'm not messing with you, because you're wasting my time. I, like, for example, Street Fighter V. Now it is, you know, the game we wanted, but it's too little, too late. You know, I can't be going back to games that are fucked up on day one like that. You know, maybe if you fix it within the first week or two, sure. But even then, I can't really. If you guys could correct me, go ahead. But I can't. I don't think I've ever had a situation like that where I'm like, this game sucked at launch. Now I love it. And like, if you're not good at launch, I'm not fucking with you. You know, you lost your chance.
I've never had that before where it's like a game that initially that got better after the game had been released. Like, I have trouble thinking of anything that I'm usually sold at the beginning, and then just kind of, it's still consistent after, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way.
I think there's a lot of games that improve within time, but I'm like you guys. First impressions are everything. If you don't get me by that first week, then I'm done with that game. And the examples for me were The Division. I played the first week and I didn't really like it. But then everyone was talking about how it got way better and there's all these patches. Did you check this patch out? And it's like, no, I'm done with this game. And the other
Destiny.
Destiny's another one. Tony mentioned Street Fighter V. Man, mm-hmm. Street Fighter V was a huge disappointment. But apparently the game is whole now. But I don't care.
It took them long enough.
Yeah. I played Arcade Edition. I reviewed it. I'm like, yeah, this is the game we should have gotten in. I think if they were released that one, people would not have beefed. And yeah, I'm sorry. You guys should have impressed me the first time around. I'm just being real right now. I don't have time for patches and shit. You do shit right the first day or don't get it right at all. You know?
But the funny thing about Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, isn't that just the same? It's a whole new game, isn't it?
No, it's still the same base game.
I'm saying it's like, in other words, can you download DLC to Street Fighter V and you get the Arcade Edition?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. You can. Yeah. Okay. A Street Fighter Arcade Edition is just to upgrade to Street Fighter V. If you have the Street Fighter V box, that's what you're asking, I'm guessing. You could download Street Fighter V Arcade Edition. You're good to go. Yeah, I think you have to pay money, obviously, but you know how that is, man.
You have to pay money for the arcade edition?
The download, the patch, you know, the DLC, because it's DLC, that's all what they consider DLC it. Was
I think it wasn't even the yeah. main issue
with that. But you could also just buy arcade edition itself, too, if you don't never have the original one. Metal Gear Solid 4 Trophies, that's another one. I was already done. I played that game. Listen, Manny, you know this too. If that game had retroactive trophies, we would have got that platinum like that because we played out of that game.
That shit would have popped instantly because we beat that game left, right, and crooked. Yep. That's the only reason why we didn't even go back to that damn thing.
I didn't bother. I played a little bit of it. I got a trophy or two, but I'm like, listen, I played this shit like a million times already, you know?
And don't even mention those. Yo, I played more games before that patch. Like the trophy patch, then I hit after.
Yo,
there's so many games, man.
Can we talk about games that we got the platinum for, then they patch? It's like, what the fuck is the point? Metal Gear Solid 5 is one of those games. I had a bunch of shit afterwards. I'm like, I already got the platinum. I'm not going to play this shit again, you know?
I think that's most games.
Yeah, most games are like
that. They add stuff. There's the DLC that have it. And that's what people wanted. Because remember, for a long time, DLC didn't have shit. And people are like, well, that's not fair because I want like Chivos and trophies on it. And I'm like, okay, so we'll start sticking on those. You know, so I mean, they're giving what people want. I don't mind. I don't focus on those, though. For me, it's the main game. And if I can get the other ones, that's just icing on it. But I don't really care.
Oh, I want to answer this man directly. Ill, watch that. Yo, Tony, did you play God of War yet? I haven't played God of War in like 2 months, bro. I wish I could, but. I got to, you know, the thing is, like, I have to keep playing the next shit, or the newest shit. I'm noticing the only old games, quote unquote, old games I play now are like Mega Man games because they're quick, you know?
Bloodstained, Curse of Bloodstained. The Moon.
I didn't even play that. I didn't go back to that. I played a couple levels. I was it, you know? I'm becoming like Torrance.
Six levels, man.
I'm becoming like Torrance. It's sad, man.
Yeah, and you look at that.
What's
how
going on?
Yeah. How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, what's going on, Carl? But yeah, bro, like, don't get me wrong. I want to plat it. I want to go back and plat it, but I got other shit I need to take care of, so I can't go back, you know? Man, I think your boy's done with platinums, man, as much as that hurts me. I just don't have the time anymore, you know? It's crazy.
Your man Greg Miller gets platinums.
Yeah.
I could always find time. I got two babies.
I don't know, man. GT Sport? I don't know. I don't care. I don't give a fuck, you know? I think Brian's still away, so we'll move on because we ain't going back to re-answer questions. Fuck that. We got timestamps now. Is it going to ruin all that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. This is an interesting one. How come we never get video games based on pre-USA America, like a game based on the Native Americans in North America? I thought that would be cool in a different setting.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Pre-USA America. He's talking about like. You know, Columbus and shit. Or even before Columbus, you know?
Oh, man.
He's talking about that.
Just natives by themselves.
Exactly.
Maybe some Vikings.
No, yeah, maybe some Vikings, exactly. But in general, natives, no white people. I'm going to be honest, shit. Man. I don't think people would care for that, man.
I think the only interesting ones would be like sort of like Aztec and Mayan kind of stuff. Because those have like more interesting stories. But other than that, like, there's not, like, that many, like, huge stories that people talk about with those times. It really depends what type of game you're trying to make. If it's a story-driven game, I don't know.
Yeah, like,
hey,
how much...
The Mayans are still American, so there you go.
Yeah, well, he specifically said North America. I'm like, who? Like, I know shit about Central America, right, during that time, but North America, what was even going on?
The thing is that a lot of America was nomad cultures, you know. It was, you know, Native Americans and all that stuff. And a lot of that history is kind of lost.
Carl, that's a great point. He says Far Cry Primal proved it could be done. That is true, but I think generally audiences are more like interested in like European history than like North American history. As fucked up as that sounds, I think I'm right about that one, you know. But you're right, they could do it.
And also you look at how Far Cry Primal actually did.
And it did very well, actually. Not crazy well, but you know, it did well enough. But I think and the thing is, like, what would you do in the game? Like, Native Americans didn't have animals to ride on. You know, they just they were on foot.
Other than horses,
no, they didn't have horses. Horses were from Europeans. The Europeans brought them over. You know,
I could have sworn there were some sort of horse.
Oh, there were like 10,000 years ago. You know, but in America there were no horses. Why do you think Native Americans never had an empire? Because they just walked on foot. You know,
like some tribes are like notoriously great, like long distance sprinters.
Yeah, exactly, because they didn't have any horses. They became excellent horsemen when they got horses, you know, but yeah, no, they didn't have that shit. It's crazy, man. I was watching this video, not to go off topic, it was like an alt history type of thing. It's like, what would happen if the Native Americans had horses? And their whole thing was like, yeah, they probably would have built an empire, and the Spanish and all that shit would not have been able to conquer them. I'm like, yeah, probably true, you know. All right, so, but yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. Maybe an Assassin's Creed game will do it. Who knows?
It would have to be, I mean, I would feel like it would have to be kind of a little bit, maybe that something that takes advantage of their kind of like verbal history and stories.
Yeah. I feel like a mythological type of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of dealing with the mythos, whereas it, and maybe dealing with the thing, because again, there's not a lot of, you know, again, being that most Native American cultures were all pretty much, you know, nomads, they kind of just, there's nothing really left of their history, and especially being taken over by,
they didn't have writing or anything, you know?
They didn't have, you know, they had writing, but all of it is written on friggin' leather, and it's all gone, or it was written on some rocks, which just kind of eroded away.
Yeah.
In Mayan, when you're talking about Mayan cultures, you definitely know what they were.
Oh yeah,
because they literally made these incredibly huge buildings. In Japan and China, their cultures are so damn, because they had everything written down. There's a huge amount of history that's left for them.
Yeah, exactly.
That you can kind of draw on.
And Nate, my man, really. He goes Persona 5 Platinum. Oh, I thought he said, okay, good. I thought he said easy. I'm like, what? No way. He said it's crazy. Yes, it is crazy. You know? Man, I'm telling you guys, I miss those days when I could get Platinums. You know? Oh, well. Telltale Games, I'm glad they make those at least.
even Telltale is kind of having its dropped off. I think it's kind of gotten old for people.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Well, they said this is it. They have a new engine coming.
Yeah, they said that shit last time.
Oh, that last engine is kind of whack.
Done. Wiggity wiggity whack. Come on, man. All right. We'll move on. Oh, yeah. Well, last question. From my man and Nate. So he goes for any of you that have done or are currently doing journalistic work, is there a code of ethics that the employer expects from you outside of the articles you write for them? Very good question. So yeah, this really applies to me, but maybe a little bit, Brian, because he used to write too, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to answer this one. I mean, here's the thing. There's no explicit, like, here's the book of how you need to behave, right? It's more like you should already know this, you know.
Unwritten rules.
There's unwritten rules. Yeah, like, for example, don't go on Twitter and bash your fans. That's one, you know. And generally, just don't go too buck wild. But the thing is, at the same time, and I'm gonna say this, and hopefully it's not going to get me too much in trouble. If you have a certain ideology, you can get away with saying certain crazy shit, and you see it on Twitter, right? If you don't, keep quiet. But in general, no matter what the hell you believe, it's best to just keep it low, man. Keep it quiet. Don't say nothing. You know,
I mean, it would say if your the things that you say kind of fits the zeitgeist of things that are being said, some people can kind of get away with saying some quite questionable sort of things.
Yeah, Carl knows about this shit, so he's giving me some good stuff. Go ahead, Manny, then I'll chime in.
You know, I mean, in general, and this goes for anybody who does work that's very public, like what me and Tony does. You have to understand that you are, you know, even if you're not, if you're off the clock, the things that you say can negatively affect the company and your livelihood. So you have to be very careful about the things that you say. These things, you know, this means, you know, if you go into Twitter rants or, you know, yelling at somebody or essentially clowning somebody on there, these are all things that can kind of come back to get you.
Yeah, so and speaking from personal experience, it's happened to me. That's why I don't do it anymore. So I'm like, me clowning dudes, that shit has come back to bite me in the ass big time. So I'm like, don't do it. And the thing is, I was talking to Manny about this. We had a nice long conversation about this. Once you have that blue check mark there, that's a target. People are going to come after you. They're going to take everything you say and magnify it, you know, even more than they normally would. You got to be very careful about that stuff. You know,
I would say, though, nowadays, a lot of people don't seem to heed those sorts of
they don't
those type of things. You know, they essentially start yelling and screaming at people for, you know, almost baseless reasons. And the thing is that you got to remember that every single person out there that's reading the things that you create, the things that, you know, every single day, these are the people that you are selling to. So if you start to alienate people with your a lot of the things in your personal life, that stuff can come back to you, you know. So that's why, you know, in general, at least for me, I call it keeping it professional. No religious talk. No, political talk. It's all very much things that I like because I don't want to read that sort of stuff. I don't care to read. There are people out there that are much better at political talk than I am. I'm just some stupid artist that just, you know, you don't come to me to find out what's going on in society. That's somebody else's job. When you come to me, you're going to see some pretty pictures. You're going to see some cool figures. You're going to hear me talk about video games or anime or TV, the things that I enjoy in my life, but not any of that other stuff.
Yeah, hold on. Carl's dropping some fire right now, man. So he goes, here's someone thinks he's a journalist himself. Genuine credibility, consistency, no plagiarism, very important. If you rip off somebody else's shit, that's going to come back to you, you know. And it's interesting because journalists engage in a sort of plagiarism in the sense that we all get the same information from press releases, right? But it's when you take it from somebody else that you got to watch out. And if you do take it from somebody else, you link back.
Cite
link
your sources.
Link back. That inconsistency is another one. It's like, you know, like if you say one thing, like to say, oh, I don't like first person. I don't like this game because it was a first person shooter. Then you turn around and go, I love this game because it's a first person shooter. I'm like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? You know? Also, this is a perfect time for me to tell you guys a little bit of story. This happened to me today, right? I'm not going to name any names, obviously, but somebody was like, I was explaining to somebody what my work is, and I'm like, hey, I got this thing. I got to review it. And they were like, what do you write then? Are you just write, you doing like a commercial? I'm like, no, I'm giving my opinions. Like, what if your opinion is negative? I'm like, then I write my negative opinions. Like, don't they get mad at you? I'm like, listen, a company potentially getting mad at me is not as bad as my readers distrusting me because I'm writing some bullshit fluff piece. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather a company get mad at me than have my readers not trust me anymore. You know, so that's one thing that goes into the business too. You got to be truthful. You can't be out there lying because people will catch you. They will catch you, and that's going to come back to hurt you.
And I also feel like that also at the same time that because you're, you know, if you explain the points that you have properly, I think that in general, that if you're not totally bashing a company that you're getting something free from, like where, yeah, in other words, you're within reason and you're telling the things that are, you know, off with this thing, I think those sorts of things also help as well. It's like,
yeah, if you
construct, what do we call constructive criticism?
I've criticized a bunch of shit. I've never had a company really, there's one incident, but we're not going to get into that, but it was really me. They've always, cause I'm, it's like, yeah, I could be truthful, but you don't have to be mean. There's a difference. You don't need to be malicious, you know? Carl also says, stay solid on your original views, be able to defend them, but be open to opinion based on fact. Understand certain things are subjective. Exactly. And a lot of people don't seem to, a lot of journalists don't seem to understand this. Like, the shit you're saying, even though you have to be true to yourself, at the end of the day, you have to understand it is your opinion, and you have to know when to back off and let somebody else's opinion, you know, get out there too, you know, or at least acknowledge somebody else's views are different than yours instead of just going, hey, fuck you, you're wrong. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? Again, these things aren't expected of you. They're just like, like Carl said, unwritten rules, you know?
The unwritten rules of the road.
Yeah, but at the same time, yeah, most of the thing, the main thing that'll get you fired now is social media. Social media will kill you instantly. You've seen it already. You know, you've seen it already. It is insane, man. And Nate goes, I asked because recently some people have kind of popped off that they have very public work and thought they wouldn't get in trouble for it. In the end, exactly. We're not going to name this incident. You know exactly what we're talking about. Somebody popped off at the mouth. They got fired. Whether they, you know, personally, in that instance, I don't think they should have been fired. I don't agree with that. But at the same time, when you're a public figure, you need to watch out. This is something I have learned the hard way. This, even though right now I'm not on the clock, I'm still on the clock. You know what I'm saying? People were going to look at me. Oh, he's a game journalist. His opinions need to be this, that, or the other thing. They will never like let me down. So I got to understand that. And I think some people don't understand that. They're, you know, they think like, oh, this is just MySpace. No, it's not. Twitter is public. Twitter is fucking public.
Just because you said it says my opinions are my own on your page doesn't mean a damn thing. Just saying.
Yeah. You can say that.
It doesn't protect you. Or all the things that you said, the things that you say, the only thing that really will protect you, what you even say, is if you do not have a public profile. If you, all the things that you do that are public, the only things that you do that are public are the articles that you've written.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing. It's like basically that's the biggest thing right now. Like, if you got your foot in the door in the gaming industry, it already means that you're competent in that sort of fashion. So, yeah, again, I'm not worried about my work, you know, being my, like, you know, being my tombstone or whatever. It's Twitter shit. You know, that's the thing I'm most worried about, you know? Yeah. It's crazy, man. I'm glad you asked this question. That's some insider shit you got right now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's just you, when you have work publicly like that, and even for certain companies, you have to hold yourself to a certain standard. It means that you, no matter what anybody says out there, you still need, despite, you know, you still need to hold yourself in the same way. So if somebody starts attacking you, you grin and bear that shit. I know it hurts because people say some fucked up shit online. Out of, you know, because they can and because they're anonymous, but you got to, if you're selling something to the public, you got to grin and bear that stuff. Because the minute that you say something, that is the moment that you've already validated what they had to say.
Here's something I learned, which is fucked up, but it's true. The public can lash out at you all they want. The instant you do that, you're fucked. You are fucked. Exactly. You, like, basically, whatever they do, they will not face any sort of, you know, they're not going to face any backlash. They pretty much do whatever they want. They're not going to be, there's no retaliation. You do anything, that's it. It's on your ass, you know?
You know, you just, you know, think about it this way. You know, you go into that McDonald's, there's some, you know, no matter what, you know, they got to smile and they got to take it. That's it.
That's it, man. And this is why I hope you guys in the future, don't get me wrong, you know, you can ask us whatever you want, but I hope you understand why there are certain things that we will purposely not answer because we do not want to get fired, right? Mm-hmm. If this was 3 or 4 years ago, sure. If you heard those old throwdowns, very different thing, right? The world has changed now. Got to be careful. And what do you, and I'm just being real right now, what do you get out of it? What do you ultimately get out of going online and yelling at a bunch of strangers? You don't get shit out of that, so why do it? You know, if you got a problem, you talk to your friends. You don't need to talk to some fucking strangers, you know?
Here's the thing, what it actually is, it's purely personal.
Yes.
It's because you want to get that. It's because it's purely personal and selfish because it makes you feel better to go and yell at these people that are out there. Which really doesn't serve any purpose. All it does, again, I said, it validates, and even if you don't mean it to be, it validates them. Don't even follow that road. They're there. They want to. A lot of these guys want to go out there and they want to ignite the fires and get y'all to act stupid. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, don't give in, man. But yeah, you know, I'm glad we kind of answered this specific situation question without answering. But yeah, with that situation, yeah, like, listen, somebody's giving you calm, constructive criticism. Don't lash out at them. But at the same time, companies, don't be firing people because of some fucking Twitter drama. That shit goes away so fast, man. I don't like how companies are so reactionary to fire people these days over Twitter shit. It makes no sense to me, man. You know, it's like, did they kill someone? No, they didn't. They just said something they probably regret. Let them be. You could discipline them however you want. Mm-hmm. Offline, obviously, you don't have to do it publicly. You know what I'm saying? But companies, you need to chill out with firing people at the drop of a dime over social media. It makes no sense to me, man. You know, it is scary. It's crazy.
Because of how social media has become this, because one little thing can instantly blow up into a movement. It's that easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love what Carl says. And he capitalized this shit. He goes, carry yourself at these events like you represent your company. That's exactly what I do. And I know Manny does it too. You go in there, you dress to impress and shit. You act a certain way. You don't just go fucking crazy. You want to go crazy. You do that, you know, at dinner with your friends when you're hanging out. Companies, mm-hmm. Manny, you know this too. When I go see a game, I got my button down shirt and everything. You know what I'm saying? I still got my hat because I got to keep it real. But, but I dress a little something. If I were to just go in there with a t-shirt, I would be treated a lot differently than if I had my button down, they go, oh, this motherfucker's serious.
When I did media for for STFU and Play, I noticed that there was a genuine difference between me dressing in my street clothes that I usually wear and just switching up the look. If I just put on one of those bowling shirts or workman shirts, like you get those dicky work shirts, you walk in there, these people treat you a lot different. Even if something as simple as just wearing a friggin' blazer over your goddamn t-shirt, somehow that it means there's a total difference as to the way people treat you. It's
hilarious, silly, man.
But at the same time, you have to, even if you're not directly, you still are representative of the things that you work with. So, put out the best, put the best foot forward and, keep going from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Carl. You can still party, but you're still, even when you're just chilling, you're still representing. You're still representing. You got to be careful, man. Got to be careful. You know, by the way, the guys in the chat are really liking this conversation. They're like, this is the reason we listen to Throwdown. It's fucking awesome. You know?
Well, I mean, to an extent, we want to be able to tell you, how a lot of the stuff tends to work in industry. Obviously, everybody, a lot of us, we're just kind of game on your spare time, but it's still in general, there's just certain things that you don't say.
Yeah, exactly, man. All right, so that's gonna do it for us. So, Manny, you weren't here for this, but I already announced. Our boy Rogelio, is that it, Carl? I keep forgetting this man's name.
Yeah.
Okay, Rogelio, there we go.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to be, I have it all set up to go. So we're just slap a little address on that and I'll send it out to you, man.
Fucking awesome, man.
Enjoy.
Yeah, man. And congratulations again,
Yeah, congratulations. Then, have a nice, cool piece of artwork to put on your wall.
All right, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or over on The Coalition. And we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Facebook, and Periscope at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. Tonight's joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. Sorry, I was late. I was having dinner.
Carlos Romero.
Summer anime season is upon us.
Brian Monjoma.
Time to watch that Gintama now.
And Adam Vale.
Have fun this week, people.
Lucha.
Well, we watch Lucha. Lucha, we go from Thursday because then that's when I know Lucha. But yeah, keep watching Lucha Underground. It's fun. Fun. A lot more people are getting it, too. I'm hearing people from the East Coast are getting it. Because it used to only be on the West Coast, but Dana and them, they're able to get it now on Spectrum. So
nice.
Check your local listings, like they say.
Yeah, and shout out to the guys in the chat, man, giving us love right now, man. Appreciate that.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, we have those real conversations, people. All right, man, we'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Laters.